Thanks for listening to the podcast from Jonathan Combs and the preaching team at Eastgate Community Church in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Check us out on the web at eastgate.church for more. And now, here's the sermon.
Telling them that God wanted them to be forgiven and to repent and all. And so he said no and just ran the other way. And God did some things with them all the way to the point where he was in the belly of a fish and his choices were either to become poop or vomit. And so he chose vomit and said yes to God. And that's not exactly the yes that we want to give to God. And neither is today necessarily where we're going to be talking about the reluctant yes. Whereas Jonah, there may be some who have experienced just the rock bottom yes and have come to a point where they said, I'm not God, God is God, and I'm going to do what he says. But the reluctant yes today is something that actually hits home with me, because this is where I started, where you start by saying, God, I don't know what this is going to look like, but I'm going to say yes regardless. And that's where I started and where maybe some of you will start today. So everyone is given the power to say yes or no to whatever's on the table. And so if you imagine, I know this is not a props church, so you have to use your imagination here. So if you have a table, and on that table it's God's plan, we all have the opportunity to say yes or no to God's plan at any point in our lives, correct? All right. So some of us hear God's plan, we're just like, no. Some of us are going to be like the character we're going to be studying today, and are kind of like, excuse, and then no. But eventually we have to be confronted by God to say, are you going to give your yes to me, not just my plans? So when you, the metaphorical table, when you switch that out from God's plan to just simply God, no matter where he calls us to, we will go because he's called us there. Because we've said yes to him and not simply a plan. Is that making sense? Good. So the Bible is filled with stories of people giving their radical yeses. And like, that's really cool. We see just people doing amazing, incredible things for God time and time again. And we're like, ah, I'm so glad that's in the Bible because I wouldn't have done that. Because they're just so crazy. I'm trying to think of some. It's hard to connect. It's hard to relate to that because there are so many times in our lives where that's just not the calling that we feel. We feel a struggle to say yes to what God has for us because we fear the unknown. And however, we can move from whatever place we're at this morning to a radical yes by praying the prayer of Isaiah. This is the series text, Isaiah 26:8. It says, yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. So what if we're warming up to the idea of trusting God with our lives rather than simply just trusting these plans where we kind of freeze up because we start doing all this analysis and we start thinking, God, maybe I'm not worthy. Maybe this isn't for me. God, you have the wrong person. I'm not the one you should have picked for this task. But instead, we're warming up to the idea that you can give that reluctant yes in God because you trust who he is, but maybe still have questions. So, sometimes we don't feel worthy. We feel unequipped. We sometimes just straight up do not want to do what God calls us to do. We hear the calling. We're like, no, God. We run the other way. Then you get swallowed by a fish and all kinds of crazy stuff. That hasn't happened to anyone in here. I hope it never happens to anyone in here. But we can give our yes to God. When we're faced with that reluctancy, it's as if we're staring at a picture, right? So, you know, when you go to a museum, you go up to a painting, you don't stand like this far away from the painting, right? That'd be weird. But that's how life is. If we think about life, we only know that next step. We only know what's right in front of our face, correct? And so when God says, move left, move right, go up, go down, and we're painting out our life metaphorically, we say, God, I'm not sure if that's the right move. God, if I make a mistake, it's going to mess up the entire painting. God, if I, and we're so focused on what our abilities and capabilities are. Whereas God, he can see the whole painting. He can see the whole picture. And so we can trust him, and we can give him our yes, knowing that he'll work everything out according to our good. Even if we make mistakes, God can turn them into happy little accidents. That's right, Bob Ross. The youth in this room just got really happy. Every adult was like, did he really just say that? Yes. But isn't that so true? God can take our biggest failures in life and just turn them into these mishappenings that are unfortunate. But we know that God works everything for the good of those called according to his purpose and who love him, right? All things he can work for that good, whether it's our mistakes or anything else. So what we would call that is analysis paralysis, where you see the situation, you say, I don't know, God, and you start thinking of all the what ifs, and then you just freeze. Analysis paralysis, a scary, frightening, fun rhyme. So what can we do with that reluctancy that has stuck us where we are? We can trust God, who is able to see our entire future as if it were a painting on the wall. He's able to look at it from a perfect perspective and see what our life will become. Even better, he just doesn't see the art. He is the master artist that takes even our mistakes and turns them into those happy little accidents. Now, I have the power right now to do as I was encouraged to do and make y'all talk to each other. But I know that's always very frightening. So instead, I'm going to engage this reluctant, yes, you may be reluctant to do this, but let's put our yes on the table. I just want an affirming nod out of everyone. Like, I might put my yes on the table for that. Just an affirming nod. Yeah, it's good. Okay, good. That's a little better than having to talk to your neighbor. Ooh, it's always frightening. All right. So as we continue to trust God and take that next step, even if we are reluctant at first, we are eventually able to see that big picture that God has for us and take faith steps so we can see what he has for us. In the book of Exodus, Moses wrote how he reluctantly gave God his yes when God called him to free the people of Egypt. We can give God our yes even if we feel reluctant. How can we say yes to God even when we feel reluctant? Well, today's text is going to give us three ways on how we can say yes to God amid our reluctance. So, a little pretext work. We're in Exodus 3. Moses is walking along. All of a sudden, a bush bursts into flames. Apparently, that wasn't too shocking. But what was shocking about that is that it wasn't burning up. So Moses is like, all right, I'm going to go check this thing out. So he walks up to the bush, and all of a sudden, God starts talking to him. And God's talking to him, talking about the things that have happened to Israel and the land of Egypt. And that's where we're picking up today's text. Warning, this text is a four-part reading, okay? I'm going to read a part. And then that's that. That's the whole part. Then we're going to read the next part. So it's going to be four texts. It's about a chapter's worth. We're going back to like the Nehemiah days with this kind of reading. So we're going to take it in four bites. Sound good? All right. Today's text, part one, Exodus 3, 5 through 15, says, I'm going to stand over here. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Then he said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you, that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. That's God's word. Amen. How to say yes to God amid our reluctance? First, we act on God's authority. If you look in verse 10, we just see this is the calling of Moses. Come, I will send you. This is God talking to Moses. And how does he respond? Moses says, who am I that I should go? Now, at first, this kind of seems like an excuse that Moses is posing, but it's actually not. It's more of a humble way of saying, God, who am I that you would send me to go do this? So he's not quite reluctant yet. He's feeling it out. He's feeling out the plan of God here. But the thing about Moses when he asks this is that he thinks there's something about his value that God wants. He's saying, who am I, as if God needs Moses to do this thing, right? So he's focused on himself. He doesn't see his value in this. And then God replies in the best way possible. It's just kind of strange. Instead of answering Moses' question, God says, but I will be with you. It's like, who am I that I should go? I'll be with you. What God's communicating here is, Moses, it's not about you. It's about who's calling you. God doesn't reply the way that we would think or that Moses would think, but rather he reminds Moses who God is. The authority and value of Moses is the authority and value of God in this situation. It is not by his own, but it is lended to him by God, the authority. God further says, I am who I am. This is Yahweh, Jehovah. This is the Tetragrammaton, a very fun word that just means four letters, which is what you see up there right now. This is the first time God has revealed his sacred name in Scripture. If you read through Genesis, you'll see the capital L-O-R-D throughout it, but this is when it's revealed, and when Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, he used that word throughout it because this is the sacred name that was revealed to him. Here, God establishes that he is Yahweh, he is Lord, that he is Master, that he is the ultimate authority by which Moses is called, his people will be called, and his people had been called by in the past. As God did not call Moses to act on his own authority, but on God's own authority, he does the same for us today. Look at Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Perhaps like Moses, you have felt inadequate to accept the calling of God. We read here that it is through God with us that we can be capable of the calling that God has for us. We do not act out the mission of God on our own strength, but the Lord's. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We see three awesome parallels between the Great Commission and our text, part one text today. First, God told Moses he was Lord, and Jesus tells us he has all authority. God told Moses to set his people free. Jesus tells us to make disciples and set people free from the captivity of darkness. God told Moses he would be with him, and Jesus tells us he was with us always. Just a quick illustration here is that Queen Elizabeth, I know we're all red, white, and blue Americans, but there's a little person across the pond. Queen Elizabeth, now, she is the queen. She has some authority, and I know the government thing is all different there, but just think queen, authority, birthright, okay? She is Queen Elizabeth because of her birthright. Her ancestors fought for that role, and all she has had to do was be born into that, and now she has the right to be called queen. She has the right to authority. All she has to do is exercise the authority given to her by her ancestors, right? Likewise, look at Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. In the same way, Queen Elizabeth acts on the authority given to her by birthright. Our authority in Christ is given to us, not earned, through the sonship of God. When we act on God's behalf, we act in his name and in his power, which through us gives us the authority to do things that otherwise we would be incapable of by ourselves. Interestingly enough, the reason that Queen Elizabeth became queen in the first place is because her uncle Edward abdicated from the throne, making her father George king, a thing he was reluctant to do. When King George died years later, Elizabeth eventually rose and accepted the role of queen, wishing that the duty had never come to her. It's funny how God can call us and lead us in, and even upon the moment of salvation, we can even be reluctant to do the things he's called us to do, in spite of all the things that he's done already for us. Jesus put his yes on the table and died on a cross for our sins, and we're so reluctant to even share the gospel sometimes. So let this be a starting point for us to change that and act on God's authority. Have you heard the calling of God on your life? Even while you feel reluctant, accept and act on that call, knowing that God is your authority and you are not acting on the authority of yourself. For some of our reluctance is that we feel unworthy to accept the gift of salvation. I know I was at that point where I felt, God, I just don't feel like I deserve this gift. Why did Jesus have to die on that cross? Yet we receive Jesus' free sacrifice and accept the authority offered by him to be called sons of God. It's not about the worth I place on myself. It's about what God has already done. Some feel unworthy to proclaim the gospels to others. So act by trusting that God will be with you as you are doing what he has called you to do. Do not let a reluctant heart stop you from saying yes to God, but say yes to God, even while you are hesitant to do so. Even while you feel reluctant, you can act on God's authority. All right, we're moving on to part two. Strap in, because this is a long reading. All right. Picking up verse 16, going all the way through chapter 4, verse 9. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to them, the Lord, the God of Hebrews, has met with us, and now please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt all with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty. But each woman shall ask of her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said, what is in your hand? Said a staff. Throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran away from it. But the Lord said to Moses, catch it by the tail. So he put his hand out, caught it by the tail, and it became a staff in his hand. That they may believe the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Again, the Lord said to him, put your hand inside your cloak. And he put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. Then the Lord said, put your hand back inside your cloak. So he took his hand, he put it back inside of his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you, God said, or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile, pour it on dry ground. The water you shall take from the Nile will become blood on dry ground. Part two, reading of the word of God. Amen. All right. Two down, two to go. All right, so second way we can give God our yes amid our reluctance is go by God's gifting. All right, so there's kind of three parts to this section of the text. We got God's plan, we got Moses' response, and then we got God's gifting. All right, so we're going to take them in those three chunks. First, God's plan, go and gather the elders together in verse 16 and tell them what I told you. So that's the first step, step one of God's plan. Gather the elders, tell them what I told you, second step. And they will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt. So gather the elders, tell them what I told you, go to Pharaoh, tell him what I told you, be like, set my people free. Then, part three, the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, they will let you go. God's plan. Gather the elders. Tell them what I told you. Go to Pharaoh. Say, let my people go. And then he's not going to let you go. So I'm going to strike my hand against Egypt. Then he'll let you go. That's my plan, right? That's God's plan. If you've ever seen Ant-Man and Wasp, it kind of sounds like the friend of Ant-Man's version of saying how to like get a plan. That's God's plan in a gist. It's like, gather the elders, tell them what I told you. Go to Pharaoh. He's not going to listen to you, so I'm going to, you know, do some things. Awesome things. And then he'll let you go. And here's Moses' response. But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say the Lord did not appear to you. See, Moses doubts the credibility of his own word. What he doesn't realize is that God told him, they're going to listen to you. So he not only doubts the credibility of his own word, doubts the credibility of God's word. And so, God's gifting. The Lord said to him, what is in your hand? So he's like, a shepherd's staff, because that's what shepherds carry. He's like, toss it on the ground, it turns into a snake, and he runs from it. My favorite part about this is that Moses had to write this down, right? So when he throws that staff on the ground, it turns into a snake. He recorded in history forever, I ran away from the snake. All right, shepherd's staffs must have been pretty big, so I'm assuming that snake was ginormous, which would have been terrifying. So he ran away from it. And then, boldly enough, he puts his yes on the table to grab that snake by the tail. What in the world, Moses? So he grabs it by the tail, turns back into a staff. Then God says to him, you know, put your hand inside your cloak. And when he takes it out, it's leopardous like snow, which is horrifying because that's when your flesh is falling off your skin. And so, you know, God's like, put it back in your hand. He's like, okay. He puts it back and takes it out. What is God communicating to Moses? It's not what you have. It's not what you think you have or do not have. I am with you. You will go by my gifting. It is not about what you have to offer, Moses. I'm calling you. And then for extra measure, God gives him one more. It's like, if that isn't convincing for you, if that isn't convincing enough for the others that I'm the one sending you, go to Nile, take some water out of it, pour it on the ground, it's going to be blood. Don't know whose blood, don't think too hard about it, but it's going to be blood. God is addressing the excuses that Moses is proposing to him. And he's telling him, it's not your ability, it's mine. The one who's calling you is calling you for a reason. He's not going to leave you high and dry. All of these miracles were done using gifts and abilities Moses already had. Notice, he had the staff in his hand. He has the hands on his arms. And the Nile River was just a little ways away. It wasn't Moses' hand that had the power to do miracles and prove his own credibility, but it was the hand of God acting through Moses that gave him the power and credibility. And likewise, God has gifted us with natural talents, experiences, and spiritual gifts that he can use to do the things he has in mind for us to do. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Romans 12:6. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Certain things well. Don't have to be perfect. 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. We don't have to fear when God calls us in. He's going to give us the giftings we need in those moments. We can trust him. When I was younger, I felt the calling to take control of a small group that was going to otherwise fade away. My youth pastor at the time, he was moving away to go serve at another church, And so my brother took up this small group for a week or so, and then my friend took up this group for a week or so, and then it was just left on a table. And I felt God saying, Josh, you pick it up. You lead. And I was like, okay, God, but I will not call myself their leader. Don't want any business with that. Didn't see myself as that. Thought I was unequipped, unworthy, did not want to do it. But for some reason, I did. And so I led that group for about 4.5 years. And for 2 of those years, I hosted, I created the lesson, I asked questions, I brought food for them, and you know, sent out the text to make sure everyone was knowing where to go and where to be. And for 2 years, I refused to call myself their leader. Not sure why. I was so hesitant. I was so reluctant to accept that. Until eventually, God said, are you not convinced? Are you not convinced yet that you're supposed to lead? So it wasn't until I did the reluctant yes, and I put my yes on the table for God, until he called me into the things that I would go into. After I put that reluctant yes on God's table, he showed me, go to Southeastern, study at the seminary college level. And so I did. Then he's led me to be preaching with WCC in Eastgate. That's where this has led me today. And so it all started with that reluctant yes. At the very beginning, I mentioned this is where I started. And if it wasn't for that small amount of faith to do that, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. None of us would be here. So it starts sometimes with a reluctant yes. Which is a great thing that God has the patience enough to start where we need to be. I'm trying to figure out how to say this. God starts where we need to start sometimes. He has the patience enough to look at a child who doesn't know where to go and say, all right, just follow me. And he'll keep on saying, follow me until you gain the courage enough to go do so. That's what I'm trying to say. The natural talents, life experiences, and gifts that you have been given by God can be used by God, even talents, gifts, and experience that we reluctantly did or possess. We shouldn't regard any gifting or any experience as useless in the hands of God. He can use everything about us to complete his plan. If you're not sure what your gifting is, maybe it's because you need to say yes to God today. Even if it's a reluctant yes, take that next step and see where God leads you. That's where I had to start, and I have no regrets to where God has led me. There might be an unused gifting in you just waiting to be brought to life. God can use whatever is in your hands today. Even while you feel reluctant, you can go by God's gifting. Part 3 of today's reading. Exodus 4:10-17. Saying, but Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. And the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with you and your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is it not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth. And with his mouth I will and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs. Part 3. How to give God our yes amid our reluctance. Third, speak with God's support. Here it is. Another excuse. Lord, I am not eloquent. This is fluent of speech. Maybe the patterns of speech he took were a little stumbled. He says he's slow to speak, articulate or powerful. Moses has no confidence in his own ability in speaking, even though God has called him to speak. So God responds, who has made man's mouth? Again, he is addressing the excuses. He has no problem addressing the excuses that Moses is putting out. God created Moses the way he was and could create a new work in him to make a non-eloquent speaker an eloquent speaker. He says, I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. God once again says that he will be with Moses, this time specifically to help him speak with God's support. And then verse 13, the point where excuses are no longer an option and where you either have to say yes or no to God. Moses chose, oh my Lord, please send someone else. Moses is past making excuses. As God has a response to every excuse, at this moment, Moses' true heart in the situation is revealed. He's reluctant to do it. Reluctant, unwilling, hesitant. He doesn't just have excuses for why he shouldn't go or do it. He just simply does not want to do it. He is simply reluctant. And verse 14, we get God's response to this. Then the anger of God was revealed. Now, we're thinking anger like, what's God about to do to Moses? He's about to send him to the, you know, to the fish again? It's like, no, that's not the story. No, this is more of a nostril exhale of like face. So it's as if God was just like, whew, like, come on, Moses. That's what this imagery is, rapidly exhaling at him. Until this point, God had not become angry with Moses, but as soon as Moses revealed his unwillingness to do what God has called him to do, now God has become angry with him. In verse 15 through 16, he goes on to say, I will be your mouth. Don't worry about what stumbling words you're going to say during this calling. I will be with you. I will speak through you. And he says, Aaron, you'll speak through Aaron. I'm speaking through you. I'm speaking through both of y'all. Just go. Just go. Be willing. That's where God's at this point. He's tired of the excuses, and he's become angry with Moses, and he's given him one last thing. I'll give you someone else to speak for you. I'll speak through both of you. Go. When God sends us, as he equips us, he won't send you to speak for him without giving you the words to say. Matthew 10, 19 through 20. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Luke 21, 15. For I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute to you. Isaiah 51, 16. And I have put my words in your mouth and covered you in the shadow of my hand. Way in the future, we get to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, and where the disciples are praying, waiting for the Spirit, and boom, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they're like, tongues of fire are happening, because they're speaking other languages to each other in everyone's native language, and it's crazy. Like, we don't see that really happening today, all of a sudden, everyone's speaking Spanish in here, like, doesn't happen. But with this, is that they were so empowered with the Holy Spirit, with what God was calling them to do, that they were just speaking every word that they had to each other. Now, of course, others were like, they're just drunk because obviously they're just saying a whole bunch of nonsense to each other. But Peter gets up and he's like, no, it's not that time of the day where people get drunk. Apparently that was a good enough reason to refute that. He's like, but we have God on our side. And so Peter just goes into preaching. He just lays it out. And then 3,000 souls are added to heaven that day. That's what it says. Peter didn't speak on his own words. If the Holy Spirit never came and never spoke through him, that would have never happened. Would have never happened. Preaching here at Eastgate, preaching at WCC, I know that we rely heavily on what God's going to do through us. Really, what we have to offer God is very little, but what God has to offer us through his word is worth looking at. And through the Holy Spirit, we hope that lives are changed by this. Same in Acts 2, same today. This is the church that we speak with God's support. Trust in the Lord that when you speak for him, he will speak through you. This is what he's promised. It won't be your words that are on the line, but his credibility, his power. Whether or not you are eloquent of speech, it is not the power of your own words that you will persuade anyone, but it will be the power of God and the Holy Spirit in someone. Even while feeling reluctant, you can still speak with God's support. In part 4 of today's reading is Exodus 4:18-20, saying, Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, Please let me go back to my brothers in Egypt to see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said to Moses and Midian, Go back to Egypt, for all the men who are seeking your life are dead. So Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the staff of God in his hand. Moses was reluctant to say yes. And we really don't see any change of heart, just flat out from no to yes, really in the story. But we do see that he eventually says, God's answered my excuses, and he's assured me that he's going to be with me. And he put his yes on the table. So he takes the staff that God told him to take, and he starts heading to Egypt. It's so important to remember the three ways we're given to say yes to God amid reluctance, not after reluctance. Even with a reluctant heart, God can change our lives when we trust in Jesus for our salvation. Even with a reluctant heart, we can go on and be used by God to do things, the things he desires for us to do. Remember, God often gives us the next step. You know, remember, we're this close to the painting. And God gives us the next step. So if we say yes, even with reluctance, because God will start where we need him to start, or where he needs us to start, we get one step closer to seeing what he is ultimately creating us to be, which is more Christ-like. Will you act on God's authority, go by God's gifting, and speak with God's support? Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for today. Thank you that you've brought us here, that you can start where we need to have that first line drawn of our starting point with you. If our faith walk starts with a reluctant yes, God, thank you for starting us there. God, maybe someone here today has been feeling the calling of salvation on their lives, that you desire them to be saved, and they haven't felt worthy. They felt unequipped. They feel like they don't know enough about God to accept the calling of God. But let's put that behind us today, and let's instead accept the calling that you have on our lives, which is to be sons and daughters of you. And let us ask you into our hearts. So if that's you today, just repeat after me. Father, I'm tired of living life my own way, by judging my worth by what I can put out. But God, you paid it all on the cross. Jesus, you put your yes on the table to God, and it brought you to death so that we can live. You were raised again so that we can live. And God, I trust in you. I place my faith in you, and I accept this gift. God, I act on your authority, which is the authority given to Jesus. Perhaps today you've been a believer and you felt that calling to share the gospel with that coworker, to accept that position in the church, to help with the ministry, to start something new, to make those next steps, to invite someone here. And you just haven't. But let's put that behind us. Let's speak with God's support and go to these people and say, God has been telling me that he wants me to invite you to the table, in hopes that one day they will put their yes on the table for God. God, lead us, God, guide us, and help us make disciples who have a heart for God, a heart for each other, and a heart for our world, because that's what we're here for. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.